We are continuing the sugya of Overlas Yasan and Bracha. So we discussed last time the major yisod that a lot of achronim were mechavin to, based on the lashon of the Rambam. We know there are basically, the way we set it up, three kinds of brachas: birchas hashevach, birchas hanenin, birchas hamitzvos. Birchas hashevach seemed to be clearly something that you would make after you experience the shevach. You see something amazing, you see something impressive, so you are blown away by it and you make a bracha over something amazing or impressive that you saw. Birchas hanehnin, the way the Gemara describes it, is it's a matir, is that the world belongs to God, la'ashem aretzum lo'a, you have no right to take something that doesn't belong to you, so you have to go and make a bracha in order to make it yours, in order for God to allow you to eat it. That's the way birchas hanehnin work. Question is, how do birchas hamitzvah work? Is birchas hamitzvah, so the Gemara says when they have to be made, that they have to be made beforehand, but why do they have to be made beforehand? Is there some other reason that they have to be made beforehand? It doesn't seem to fit the category of matir, because what do you mean? It's usher for me to do a mitzvah? God told me to do mitzvahs. So what does that mean? It doesn't seem to fit that category very well. Nevertheless, the way the Rambam sets it up, and we saw it last time at the very beginning of Hilchos Brachos, is he says, kishem, just like you make a bracha before you get hana'ah, so too you make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Oh, and by the way, there's something called birchas hashevach also, where you would make the bracha after. Where it sounds like the Rambam says that the bracha before doing a mitzvah is very much linked to the fact that you make a bracha before you get hana'ah. But what in the world is that link? So we saw last time Rav Shechter developed the idea based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Aleph, where the Gemara asked, well, wait a second, if I already finished my meal, and then I realize, whoops, I forgot to make a motzi lechem in aretz, I forgot to make a bar minei mezonos, I forgot to make shakol mi abedvaro, is it too late? Can you still make the bracha? So the Gemara said, well, by tevila, when you go to the mikvah, it's not too late, you can still make the bracha, so maybe by food also. The Gemara said, no, tevila is an exception, tevila is different. Whatever, for whatever reason, it's different, it's an exception. But normally, no, it's too late. You cannot make the bracha afterwards. So says Rav Shechter, wait a second. How can we even think to compare the two? Bracha on tevila is what kind of bracha? Birchas mitzvah. A bracha on food is a birchas hananin. Just because I can make a birchas mitzvah afterwards, why would that allow me to make a birchas hananin afterwards? What's the Gemara's hava mina in even comparing the two? They got nothing to do with each other. They're two totally different categories of brachos. L'chora. So he quoted that the Shach quotes from a Sefer Birchas Avraham. That true, the Gemara could have given that answer, but the Gemara gave a different answer. The Gemara could have said, yeah, they have nothing to do with each other. That's not what it sounds like from the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like, no, they have everything to do with each other. Tevila is an exception. But normally, by every hana'ah and by every mitzvah, if you already did it, it's too late. That's what the Gemara sounds like. Well, what's the comparison? And in fact, that's what the Rambam paskins. Rambam paskins, every single bracha that you make on a mitzvah has to be done before. If, let's say, you shechted an animal, and it's already geshacht, it's already done, it's dead. Too late to make the bracha. You can't say, I forgot to make the alash chita, let me make it now. Too late. You count Sfiras HaOmer. You can't make the bracha after you count. It's too late. It's done. It's over. So the Rambam clearly understands that birchas hamitzvos play by the same rules as birchas hananin. Just like the Gemara says, I finished my meal, it's too late for me to make my bari minei mezonos. So too, if I finish the mitzvah, it's too late for me to make the birchas hamitzvah. If I didn't finish, I'm still allowed to make the bracha. The Gemara gave that example also. If I'm middle of eating the meal and I realize I didn't make a bracha beforehand, so I should make a bracha on the rest of the meal at least. Misha achal shum. Yeah, the Gemara said, a person who ate garlic and his breath stinks. So the way to solve that is not by eating more garlic and having your breath stink more. Make a bracha and have a mint. Right? You make a bracha and make it good from here on in. At least have do something right. Same would be true with mitzvahs, the Rambam says. If you have a mitzvah that's ongoing, so you make a bracha halfway. If you didn't make a bracha before, at least make the bracha halfway through. L'mashal, you realize you weren't sitting to say you didn't make a bracha this morning. Okay, so make a bracha now. It's still ongoing. You're still doing the mitzvah. You're wearing tefillin, something like that. A mitzvah that's ongoing, you could still make the bracha. But once the mitzvah's over, just like once the food is finished, too late. You can't make the bracha. Why? What's the connection between birchas mitzvahs and birchas nanin? So Rav Shechter quoted from Rav Salvechik that the connection is that just like birchas hanenin are a matir, and there's like, you know, basic Rav Soloveitchik Torah. Anyone who ever learned by a student or a student of a student of Rav Soloveitchik, you know, this is like, you know, one of the ABCs of his Torah, I think. You know, I just heard it so many times from Shachter. Just like Birchas HaMitz, Birchas HaNenin are a matir, the food belonged to God and was therefore usher to you beforehand, and the bracha makes it mutter, so too Birchas HaMitzvah are a matir. The mitzvah was usher for you to do beforehand, because who in the world do you think you are that you can go and serve God? I gave the mashal, it's like me showing up to the White House one day saying, President Obama, reporting for duty, I'm ready to be your vice president. I'm ready to be your secretary of state. He would look at me and tell me, you moron, you don't know anything. You barely made it through college, and you can't even locate Europe on a map, and you're going to tell me that you're going to be secretary of state? How dare you think, have the audacity to think that you can serve me in that way? Why don't you start by cleaning the toilets and work your way up from there? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to serve the Master of the Universe, Lahavdil. We're going to serve our Melech Malchei Amlachim. We're going to say, oh, reporting for duty, sir, ready to serve you. Who do you think you are? It's usher for us to do that. Step over that line. So, on a Darabana level, obviously, Midaraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want you to do that. You're supposed to do all the mitzvahs. The Rabbanan said, but we should do it with caution. We should say, no, we don't feel comfortable doing this unless we get permission first. So the Rabbanu were misaki to get the permission before we go about that service. By Birchas HaNenin, it's also Midrabbanan. By Midaraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the world with food and said, look, I'm putting life on earth so that the life can sustain itself. So enjoy, take the food. That's all Midaraisa, we don't need a heter. It's Midrabbanan that the Rabbanan said, but come on, Lashem Ha'aretzum Lo, we should still ask permission, have the decency to ask permission. It's like you're a guest in someone's house, and obviously they invited you for a 3-day yantif. If you're there for 3 days, they expect that you're gonna, you know, drink some water probably at some time when you're there. But still, like, you know, you go over, you say, oh, do you mind if I have a glass of water? You still ask, because that's just etiquette. That's what you do. So it's a matir. Now I feel better about doing it. The person said, it's okay. Do you mind if I have a coffee? No, 3 days we won't allow you to have any coffee. We were planning on you sleeping here and just starving. No, of course, obviously it's part of the plan that you're going to eat and drink, but still, etiquette demands that that's what you do. That's what we mean by matir. That we're uncomfortable. We should be uncomfortable taking this food without permission. We should be uncomfortable doing a mitzvah without permission. It's all a matir, and that's the lashon of the Rambam. Kishem. Just like you're not allowed to get hana from this world without a bracha, and you have to make the bracha before, so too you're not allowed to do a mitzvah without a bracha, you have to make the bracha before. That was Rav Shechter's explanation in Eretz HaTzvi. But why is there an exception to the rule? What is the exception to the rule? The exception to the rule is tevila, going to the mikvah. By going to the mikvah, you make a bracha afterwards. Why? And the Rambam said tevila sager, because a ger can't make the bracha beforehand. Rambam, and tells us the name of the Rabbi Chananel, you can't make a bracha beforehand because you're a guy, and a guy can't say Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Mitzvahnu because he's neither Niskadesh nor Nitztaveh. Two lies in that one sentence. Kiddushanu? Tzivanu? A guy? It's a lie. So you can't make the bracha before. Aye, but if it's a matir, what does it help to do it afterwards? It's too late already. So that's where Rav Shechter was Mechalek, where he said the following Chiddush. Normally a Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir. Almost always a Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir. But sometimes Chazal saw that it won't work as a matir. They can't be misakin it as a matir, like in this case. You're a guy, you can't make the bracha. But Chazal didn't want it to go without any bracha at all. So they instituted a different kind of Birchas HaMitzvah. A Birchas HaMitzvah that's not a bracha on the mitzvah per se, it's a bracha on a chalos, on a status that's created through the doing of that mitzvah. What's the status by a ger? That he's now a Jew. The bracha's on being a Jew, so long as he's still a Jew, the bracha can still be made. We compared it similar to the Shitas Arayvid with Erisin. Yeah, Harei HaMekadesh L'Bitvaz L'Kadash Moshe V'Yisrael. When do you make the bracha? When do you make the bracha? The Rambam says before. The Ravid says, no, you can't make it before because maybe she's going to run away. She's going to say, I don't want it. And then it's going to be bracha levatel. So make the bracha after. What do you mean? The mitzvah's over already after. How can I make the bracha? No, because there's a chalos. The chalos that's created is that she is an eshes ish. So maybe they were misaking the bracha on a chalos, not on the maisa mitzvah. maybe they, when they couldn't be misakin the bracha on a maisa mitzvah, they were misakin it on a chalos, and by getting married, just like by tevilas hager, there's a chalos. Sometimes they had no choice, they couldn't be misakin on either. Giving tzedakah, they couldn't be misakin on either a maisa, the maisa nor the chalos. Because there's no chalos, there's no status change, just that I gave him money, I did the mitzvah, that's it. Why couldn't they be misakin it on the mitzvah? So that's what we pointed out, the Truvas HaRash, Basim and Yudches. They couldn't be misakin it on the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, because the story I like to tell, a cousin of mine, when he was running through Penn Station once, he saw a guy sitting there with a styrofoam cup sitting on the floor in Penn Station. So as he was running to catch his train, he threw a dollar into the cup or something. And the guy's like, "Oh, that's my coffee! What did you do?" He didn't want that dollar. He wasn't poor. He was just sitting. He was just sitting having a coffee. So if that happens, the guy doesn't want your money. So yeah, what if there was a bracha and tzedakah? He would have made the bracha and tzedakah, and then done that. Guy's like, "I don't want your money." So then it was a bracha levatala. So they couldn't make anything that you need someone else's approval, that you're waiting for someone else's approval, like by tzedakah, they can't make a bracha on the maisa. Because you can't do it beforehand, and any brachas mitzvah can't be done beforehand, it can't be done afterwards, it's got to be done before, unless there's a chalos. Unless there's some sort of status change, a goy becoming a Jew for life, a woman who's single becoming a married woman. But there's no chalos over here. What's a chalos? He's not an ani becoming an ashir? There's no, first of all, there's no such status. And second of all, he's not becoming an ashir, he just has a dollar. You know, so it's not a chalos, it's just you did your mitzvah. There's no ongoing chalos that's been created. Yeah, Ethan.
Anything physical, like even a luba asrog, something you say and you realize that asrog is possible or whatever.
So good. So there is a question, let's say by shchita, it's very similar. The Gemara discusses, how can you make a bracha on shchita? Let's say the animal turns out to be treifa. Turns out that, so there is an assumption that you're allowed to rely on chazaka or rove or something like that. But whenever it's tali bidas achirim, you need another person to approve, so that's where we're not willing to take the risk. Even though you would say, well, by the time you're at the wedding, you know, most brides will probably approve and they'll take the ring, but still, it's tali in someone else's das, at least the Ravid Shita, since it's tali in someone else's das, you can't make the bracha. Yeah.
This whole thing is Rosh Hashanah based on the Rambam, right? It's all from that.
Yeah.
So how could any part of it be disagreeing with the Rambam? Doesn't that, in essence, like, ruin that kind of, like, ruin?
Okay, that part about Pirkas Erisin was my own addition. Rosh Hashanah doesn't say that in his piece. And my response, I don't want him to have to take the hit for that. But my response to that would be that the Rambam would probably hold, like I was just saying to Eitan before, like, you're at the wedding. And you're saying Harei Mekadesh Asli, probably the Rambam is just not concerned that the person is going to say no. And therefore, they made a regular Birchas HaMitzvah, like you would. There is no Chalos, you're right, but it's just a regular Birchas HaMitzvah.
With the status change, we seem to be saying that you should, like the Chachila say it afterwards.
Well, because the way Rav Shechter formulated it is they only made the Bracha on the status change when they couldn't make the Bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah, like by Ger. They couldn't do on the Maisa, so they had to do on the status change. The Rambam would say, but by Erisin, granted there is a status change, but they were able to make the bracha on the mitzvah, because why not? She's going to say yes. So, yeah, that was my own addition, and I don't want Rav Shechter to have to answer for me. And then Rav Shechter's interesting ha'ara at the end was that one might have thought, if the whole reason that Ger doesn't make a bracha before his tevila is because he's a guy. So when we're matvil a child, the Beis Din are the ones making the bracha. Maybe they should make the bracha before, because they're Jews. But according to what he's saying now, even the Beis Din would make the bracha afterwards. Why? Because they were never misakin a regular birchas mitzvah on tevila sager. What were they misakin? A bracha on the chalos. And therefore, that bracha only comes afterwards. Even if you're dealing with people who could theoretically make the bracha before, they were never misakin such a bracha on tefilas hager. They were only misakin a bracha on the chalos. That is Rav Shechter's take on the, based on Rav Salvechik and Rav Salvechik's understanding of the Rambam, of the connection between birchas mitzvah and birchas nenin. Comes along Rav Yosef Engel, Lekach Tov. Rav Yosef Engel says there's definitely a connection here between birchas mitzvah and birchas nenin, but that's not it. There's more to this connection than Rav Shechter is is allowing us to see. If only I could find it in my little packet here. Oh, here we go. Okay. Comes along Rav Yosef Engel. Too many papers. Okay. So says Rav Yosef Engel. Lekach Tov Klal Yud Aleph. Rav Yosef Engel, we've quoted many, many, many times this year. He has two svarim of just like essays on random topics that are fascinating. Asfon Daraisa and Lekach Tov. We've quoted from both throughout the course of the year. So says Rav Yosef Engel, there is a Gemara in Sukkah. He starts with the Gemara in Sukkah, not our Gemara. Sukkah Daf Lamed Vav and Beis. About Esrog Shenek Vuhu Achbarim. If mice ate into Esrogim. So Rav says, Ein Zeh Hadar. It's not Hadar, and therefore it's no good. I fracked the Gemara, but what about Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Chanina used to take his Esrog, take a bite out of it, and then use it for the mitzvah. But I thought an Esrog with holes in it is not Hadar. It's no good. Why was Rabbi Chanina allowed to do that? So Gemara says, well, I don't know how Rabbi Chanina is going to answer for the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if an Esrog is chaser, it's no good. How could Rabbi Chanina take a bite out of his Esrog and use it? So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Chanina's got no problem with the Mishnah, because he would say, the Mishnah's telling you on the first day of Yontif, if it's missing anything, it's no good. Rabbi Chanina didn't take a bite out of it the first day of Yontif, that would be crazy. On the second day of Yontif, he took a bite out of his Esrog, that's when it was okay. So the Gemara says, but according to Rav, that it's not Hadar, meaning it's not Hadar, and therefore it's no good at all, on any of the days. So Rabbi Chanina is definitely against Rav, because Rabbi Chanina was taking a bite out of it. And the way Rashi understands that Gemara, if you look in the first column in the Lekach Tov, he says Upirish Rashi El L'Rav Da Amar Ein Zahadar Kasha D'Rabbi Chanina Da Afilu B'Sheni Nami L'Rav Lo Nafik. According to Rav, you shouldn't even be Yotzei on the second day either. Da Hamitzvah Hadura B'Inan, because you need a beautiful mitzvah. Now here's the keywords of Rashi. Why do you need a beautiful mitzvah on the second day? Ho'il U'Maskir Shem Shemayim Alav, because you're going to make a bracha. And if you're going to make a bracha, better be beautiful. Because I'm Breish Pirkin, Yavesh Pasul, Lo Shem Yom Tovrishon, Lo Shem Yom Tovsheni, V'okim L'Devin Hadar V'Lecha. Just like a dried out Esrog is Pasul after the first day, even on the second day. Why is it Pasul? Because it's not Hadar, and if it's not Hadar, you can't make a bracha. So, says Rav Yosef Engel, Nir Midivir Rashi, Da Hadich Yisarun Hadar Posel, Hainu Mishum Demevarich U'Maskir Shem Shamayim Alav, Ve'ino L'Haskir Shem Shamayim Mitzvah Shein Adura. Doesn't say this in the Gemara. Rashi seems to be saying that if something is not Hadar, it's a chisaron in the bracha. Bracha can't be made on something that's not Hadar. Hadar. So he says, Kashatuva. He says, I don't understand. What did the Gemara say? If you had an esrog that achbarim ate parts of it, that they made holes in it, it's pasul. Pasul means, if I used it, I didn't get the mitzvah. Let's say I take an esrog and I didn't make a bracha on it. I forgot to make the bracha. I just took an esrog, didn't make a bracha. No, what's the din? Was I yotzei the mitzvah, or was I not yotzei the mitzvah? For sure yotzei the mitzvah. The Gemara in bracha says, brachos ein ma'akvos. A bracha is not ma'akev the mitzvah. You for sure get the mitzvah without a bracha. So follow the logic over here. If it's hadar, if it's not hadar, because it has a hole in it, I didn't get the mitzvah. What's the problem with not being hadar? Because you can't make a bracha on something that's not hadar. So what? Even if I don't make a bracha, I still get the mitzvah. So why should the fact that I can't make a bracha ruin it? If hadar is not an inherent problem, it's only a bracha problem, well, bracha problems shouldn't ruin mitzvahs. Bracha problems are only l'chadchila things. Bracha is what you're supposed to do, but they don't ruin mitzvahs. So why should it ruin it just because I can't make a bracha on it? Baram kash of Rabbi Yosef Engel. So he says, Yesh Lomar, Tizeh Pashu to Rashi Koi Acha Yom Tov Beis, to be Yom Tov Aleph, Arik Siv Hadar B'Krav Ein Sarach L'Tamin Al. He says, first of all, you have to realize, on the first day of Yantif, of course it needs to be Hadar, it's nothing to do with brachos, it just needs to be Hadar, that's the mitzvah, Priyetz Hadar. When Rashi says that the problem with the lack of Hadar is in the bracha, Rashi's talking about the second day of Yantif. V'imkein yesh lomar, this virle l'rashi, tahad de brachos ein ma'akvos, hainu ach b'mitzvah da'oraisa. Very counterintuitive yisod, Rav Yosef Engel says, you have to say over here. When do we say bracha doesn't really matter? That you still get the mitzvah when you don't make a bracha? That's only if the mitzvah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. If there's a mitzvah d'oraisa and you didn't make a bracha on it, you still get the mitzvah. But when the mitzvah is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, let's say Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, according to Rashi, or Esrog on the second day, outside of Yerushalayim, according to Rashi, if you don't make the bracha, you lose the mitzvah. And that's how he answers up for Rashi. What's Rashi saying? That why, if the Achbarim ate away at this Esrog, is the fact that it's not Hadar a problem, because it ruins the bracha. But so what, it ruins the bracha? Since when does failure to say a bracha ruin a mitzvah? For mitzvah d'rabbanan, it ruins the mitzvah. Not for mitzvah d'oraisa. Failure to say bracha is going to ruin a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It won't ruin a mitzvah d'oraisa. Question is, why? Why would it ruin a mitzvah d'rabbanan, not ruin a mitzvah d'oraisa? Failure to say bracha should ruin a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So he says, what you have to say is that the mitzvah d'oraisa, what do you think the svar is? What would you say the svar is? Yeah.
D'rabbanan can't hold back mitzvah d'oraisa because bracha is
d'rabbanan? Right, meaning the d'oraisa came first. The d'oraisa was there first, before the bracha ever was born. Before the Rabbanan ever made up that bracha, that mitzvah d'oraisa was there. So the Rabbanan can't make a bracha and then say, oh, and if you don't do this bracha, you're not even getting that mitzvah. No, the mitzvah was always there. We always had a mitzvah of tzitzis. The Rabbanan come along centuries later, millennia later, and say, you should make a bracha before you do that. Okay, I should, but you're going to tell me that it's not a mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis has been around way before these rabbis were ever born. So the d'oraisa doesn't have to answer to the bracha midrabbanan. But a mitzvah midrabbanan, it could be the way the Rabbanan were masakin that mitzvah was, goes along with it. We're masakin this, it's not that we're masakin a mitzvah, and by the way, you have to make a bracha on it. We're masakin a mitzvah with a bracha. It's all part of the same mitzvah. That's why he says in the middle on page Kufza Design, in the middle of the right hand column. Be mitzvah d'rabbanan, the yeshlomer d'miyad kishachivu chacham kiyum a mitzvah, kein chivu a sheyaso sa'ada b'bracha. At the same moment, they were mechayiv you to do the mitzvah. They were also mechayiv you to do with the bracha. Kivan shah bracha, k'ma mitzvah, shnei midrabanan. Since they're both midrabanan. V'shaper yuchaliyo, shemiyad b'chayiv ha mitzvah, chivu ha-yachad, v'asu ha-mitzvah achas. Mitzvah achas im ha-bracha. That it's one mitzvah. It's not you have a mitzvah d'rabanan and you also have a bracha. It's one mitzvah. Mitzvah im bracha. The bracha is a part of the mitzvah. It's the gufa mitzvah. And therefore, if you do the mitzvah without a bracha, it's like taking two out of the four minim. You're doing half a mitzvah. You can only say that about mitzvah d'rabbanan. Mitzvah d'oraisa, you can't say that about. Because we know tzitzis existed. Dal minim existed before brachas that were ever born. So we know it was a full mitzvah before the bracha. But when the Rabbanan made Ner Chanukah, they didn't just make Ner Chanukah, they made Ner Chanukah in bracha. And therefore, if you don't do the bracha, it's like putting in half the amount of oil that you need. You didn't do the whole mitzvah. And it's ma'akiv the mitzvah. Tremendous chiddush, according to Rashi. Ner Chanukah without a bracha, you're not yotze. Tremendous chiddush, yeah?
Yeah, so I understand, isn't it still a problem, according to Rashi? Because...
Why?
Because Lulav, which is the Araisa, Rashi said...
There's only the Araisa on the first day.
Oh, so when...
When Rashi said that the lack of Hadar is a problem in the Bracha, he was talking about the second day and on.
Right.
The lack of Hadar is an inherent problem on the first day. It has nothing to do with the Bracha on the first day. On the first day, it's because the Torah says, L'chaktum l'chem b'yom harishon priyetz Hadar. So a lack of Hadar on the first day is a problem with just the mitzvah itself.
It has nothing to do with the Bracha.
It's right, nothing to do with the Bracha. The lack of Hadar from day two and on is a Bracha related issue. Well, day two and on is only Drabana. Yeah.
So when it comes to Sphero, which is Drabana, how could it be that if you miss a day and you say without a Bracha, you say the next one with a Bracha?
Yeah, because we don't hold like this explanation of Rashi. Mm-hmm. Right. No, you're right, because that's why it's tremendous Chiddush. A lot of things that we do, you know, if I got a lot of questions about being Mafresh Challah this past Shabbos, because everyone has to make their Shlissel Challahs, because it's not, you know, it's a school for Parnassa. If it were a school for Yerushalayim, no one would be so into it, but it's a school for Parnassa, so everyone has to, so I'm making this much flour, that much flour, so how much do I make a bracha dynamic? So the answer is less than 5 pounds of flour. You still Mafresh Challah, because it's very likely that's the shear, but you do without a bracha. Chal is only drabanan. So how could I tell them to do it without a bracha? Might as well not do it at all, according to Rashi. So yeah, we don't pass in this way. We pass in that even mitzvahs rabbanan. And you're right, Sfiras Omer, Rov Poskim say Sfiras Omer b'zman hazeh is the rabbanan. It's not the araisa. That's why I think I mentioned to you that Rav Sternbach says that those who say the little paragraph before Sfiras Omer, that would be Mekai in the mitzvah say Kamosha Kasav Torah, Kamosha Nemar, or whatever, and we quote the pasuk Sfartim Lechem, he says that's really inaccurate. You're not being Yotze the mitzvah the way it says in the Torah. The way it says in the Torah is with a Karban Omer, and you know, that's the real mitzvah. We're just doing a shell of that mitzvah. That's why the Baal Amar says we don't make a Shechiyanu in Sfiras Omer. He says because it's depressing. To do Sfiras Omer nowadays, we have to do it, but it's depressing because it's a shell of what it used to be. It used to be a mitzvah with a carbon and everything. Now it's just a shell of that. Okay, so what does this have anything to do with the Birchas HaMitzvah's relationship to Birchas HaNenin and you know and a matir and all that? So you look in the left hand column on page Kuf Tzad Yizayin Lekach Tov, Od Yesh Lomar Svara Shnia. All this was to get to the second explanation of Rashi. I'm sorry, not the second explanation of Rashi, still within that explanation, that a Birchas HaMitzvah is only going to matter, only going to be ma'akev a mitzvah drabanan, but it's not going to be ma'akev a mitzvah daraisa. Meaning, I take lulav on day one without making a bracha, I'm still yotzei the mitzvah. I take lulav on day two without making a bracha, according to Rashi, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. Why? So one svara we gave was the svara we just said before, that the daraisa was there before, and since the daraisa was there before, so Evan said, so it's got to stand alone. But the drabbanan, they were misaking them both at the same time. He says, I got another svara. There's a Tosefta in Brachas that says that someone who gets hana from this world without a bracha is in violation of Me'ila. And then that the Gemara says, but the Tosefta adds in a lashon, ad sheyatiru lo kala mitzvos, until you're matir all the mitzvos for you. Wait a second. We were talking about getting hana. That means birchas hananin. Then the Tosefta says ad sheyatiru lo kol ha mitzvos. What do they have to do with each other? Venir lani yastaiti kavanas ha Tosefta. Just like if you get a physical pleasure from this world without a bracha, that's called me'ila. Va'abracha hi materis ha'ana'a. And the bracha is a matir of the ana'a. Kein ha'nene ha'ana'a ruchnis mikiyu mitzvah. So too, if you get a spiritual pleasure in this world, gam kein ha'matir shalahu ach birchsa mitzvah. What's matir, your spiritual pleasure? A bracha. And that's what it means. Until it's yatirulo kala mitzvos. Ratzalomar, de birchos hamitzvos yatirulo kala mitzvos. Essentially, Rav Yosef Engel, same exact yisod as Rav Shechter of Salvechik. The birchos hamitzvos are matir. But there's one major difference in the formulation. Whereas Rav Shechter was saying more along the lines of Aryeh Leibowitz reporting for duty, Secretary of State, kind of matir, that chutzpah, what do you think you are? That's the matir. It's just matir. How could I serve you? Rav Yosef Engel is saying, what's the matir of a birchas mitzvah? He said, there's no greater pleasure in this world than doing a mitzvah. There's no greater joy, satisfaction in this world than doing a mitzvah. So if I have to make a bracha for the joy of eating a jelly bean, I better make a bracha for the joy and the pleasure of serving the master of the universe. It's a much greater pleasure. So he's understanding it in a much more literal sense. Not only that, just like Birchas HaNenin is a matir, Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir. Even more than that, just like Birchas HaNenin is on Hana'ah, a Birchas HaMitzvah is also on Hana'ah. Mitzvah is another word for super Hana'ah. It's a higher level Hana'ah. So it's mamish a Birchas HaNenin. That's where Rav Yosef Engel understands it. And he's got rayas. It's a beautiful explanation of the very famous Gemara in Nedarim. For some reason, he puts it in brackets. But in that same column over there, on page Kuf Tzad Yizayin, Va'ayin b'sefer Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, ala medrash rabba, b'reish psichta de'echa. This Bekiyas is astounding. You know, the commentaries to the medrash rabba on Echa. It's exactly what I think of when I think of Birchas HaMitzvos. Dibur Maskal al Maasa Shel Torah, Shehevi Gemara Nedarim. He quotes the Gemara Nedarim Daf Pe Alpha Mer Aleph, We all know this Gemara. Alma of the Aret. Why did we lose the Beis Hamikdash in Eretz Yisrael? Al Azva Mes Tarasi, because Klal Yisrael abandoned the Torah. The Gemara says, what? Well, that never happened. No, it's Al Shalom Berchu Betorah Tzchila. We didn't make a Birchas HaTorah first. So there's a famous Ran there. It's Al Shono Ayin Sham Ran, B'Reshem Ri. Ditam Abracha. Except he reformulates the Ran in a way that fits us very well. That the reason for a Bracha on Torah, which is a Birchas HaMitzvah presumably, Mishum Da'asu Lehanos Mi'al Mazeb Lo Bracha. Because Torah is the greatest pleasure a person can take in this world. And how dare we take that pleasure without making a bracha? It's stealing, it's me'ila. Upkude Hashem, nesam chelev. The words of God give us simcha. V'kimin shalo berchu b'zeh, heru she'in simcha b'man apiyem. Ve'in le'mana mi'divrei Torah. By failing to make a bracha, we showed that we didn't love the Torah. That we didn't get hana from it. That it was a chore. So how is he understanding that apparently Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNanit? It's a bracha showing, look, I know I'm about to get the most hana in the world, and therefore I need to make a bracha. So the problem is, when you formulate it like that, Rav Yosef Engel now runs into the problem of, how can you say that doing mitzvahs is the greatest hana? We have a rule in Shas that says not only is it not the greatest hana, it's not hana at all. The rule is, mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. If I take a neder that I'm not allowed to get hana from you, you are allowed to blow shofar for me. You're allowed to read Megillah for me. That's not called me getting hana'ah from you, because you're just doing a mitzvah for me, not hana'ah. Mitzvos aren't hana'ah. So what do we do with that? So the bottom of the column on Kuf Tzad Yizayin, on the left-hand side, Amnon be'emes lo kasher midi. It's not really a problem. Shayim ha-mishnah l'melech perkei milchus yishus halacha alav kasav. Because everyone knows the mishnah l'melech and hilchus yishus writes, da'ad the mitzvah, not everyone really knows that, that was a joke, da'ad the mitzvah slav le'anusnit nu, hainu rak b'di'evet. When we say mitzvah slav leyonos nitnu, that just means b'di'evet. What does that mean? Shem kiyem mitzvah b'Yisrael no lo chashuv kiyem mitzvah hana v'yotza. That if you're mekayim a mitzvah using something that's asr b'hana to you, you're still yotze the mitzvah. It's not called a violation. Ma she'inkin l'chadchila gam mitzvos chashiv yana v'asr la'asosam l'chadchila b'Yisrael no. Unbelievable chiddush of the Mishnah Melech. If I say I'm not allowed to get hana from you, and you blow the shofar from me, I'm yotze. But I'm not allowed to have you blow the shofar for me. B'di'evet, I'm yotze. B'di'evet, it's not called hana'ah enough that it's going to shter the mitzvah. But it's still hana'ah. Mitzvahs really are hana'ah. So he says, if you hold like that one wild card, Mishnah L'melech, that holds that really mitzvahs are called hana'ah, it's just that b'di'evet, you're still yotze on isurei hana'ah, then it's no problem that you could say the mitzvahs are definitively hana'a. Or on mitzvahs, someone said, he still hasn't explained how this relates to why a bracha should be ma'akev on a mitzvah drabanan and not be ma'akev on a mitzvah daraisa. What is, how does this help answer anything? So it says, follow along. Next step. On mitzvahs drabanan, there is a bala ma'or in Rosh Hashanah that holds, we don't say mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu. Mitzvahs drabanan are lehanas nitnu. Mitzvahs drabanan are hana'a. It's only mitzvahs daraisa that aren't hana'a. So nu, let's put it together now, in your own heads, without even seeing Rav Yosef Engel. What's the whole idea? A birchas mitzvah really is all about hana'a. Right? It's about making a bracha on hana'a. Why is a birchas mitzvah not going to matter so much for mitzvah daraisa? It's going to matter a lot more for mitzvah drabanan? Because the Baal HaMaor says that mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu, the idea that a mitzvah is not really hana'a, is only true on mitzvahs daraisa. Mitzvahs drabanan are hana'a. Megillah's hana'a. Ner Chanukah's hana'a. Lulav's not hana'a on day one. Shofar's not hana'a. So those kinds of mitzvahs that aren't hana'a. So if a birchas mitzvah is all about a birchas hananin, so no, let's put it together. I make a birchas mitzvah on a mitzvah d'oraisa, what am I really making? A birchas hananin on this great hana of a mitzvah d'oraisa. But by mitzvah d'oraisa we say mitzvos lav lehanas nitnu. It's not really a hana. So even though they were misaking this pseudo birchas hananin, at the end of the day, it's not really a hana. So we can't make that bracha count for all that much. if every birchas mitzvah is on the hana of the mitzvah, and by mitzvah d'oraisa there is no hana of the mitzvah, so then the bracha can't matter all that much. But if you say mitzvahs d'rabbanan are lehanos nitnu, and mitzvahs d'rabbanan are defined as hana'a, the joy of Ner Chanukah is considered hana'a, so then the takana of the bracha on Ner Chanukah is a real birchas hananin. And that's why it's so much more valuable to the mitzvah. Yeah?
It doesn't fit with the Rambam verse so well. Because it says, Kaf Mevarchen al kol mitzvah b'mitzvah. I mean, that's not, that doesn't...
No, he will say, that's the kashen. Just like you have to make a bracha before you get the hana of normal hanas, like smells and food, so too you make a bracha on the ultimate hana, which is a mitzvah. I mean, it goes without saying, what's better in life than a mitzvah?
It says all mitzvahs, implying that also
d'oraisa. Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, so that Rav Yosef Engel tries to work around a little bit by saying that, what does he say? That when it comes to mitzvahs d'oraisa, he comes out saying something like there's some pseudo hana'a, that it's not halachically defined as hana'a, but it's, that's where the Mishnah Lemelech comes in. The Mishnah Lemelech who said that it's usher to do because it's called hana'a, but it's not really called hana'a b'di'eved. So it's like a quasi kind of hana'a on the d'oraisa level, but mitzvah d'rabbanan it's a much stronger kind of hana'a, because we don't even say the rule of mitzvah d'rabbanan under d'rabbanan. So it sort of does apply, because they did make a takana of birchas mitzvahs on d'oraisas also. So it must be they recognize some level of hana'a on mitzvahs d'oraisa also. Otherwise they wouldn't have been misakin birchas mitzvah. Yeah.
I understand how we know that.
The concept, Mitzvah Slav Lehanasitnu? Yeah.
So, I don't understand how we know that only applies to the Arisa.
Okay, so the you would have to read the Mishnah Melech to know, which I didn't do. Mishnah Melechs typically are extremely long, but also, he doesn't say anything without having 10 rayas. So, granted, Rov Achronim disagree with that. But I'm sorry, that's not the Mishnah Melech. That's the Balamar, Shita the Balamar in Rosh Hashanah. Probably because the examples the Gemara gives are all examples midorais.
And Rov Rishonim would say what?
That even mitzvahs d'rabbanan are not called hana'a, are not halakhically defined as hana'a. I guess the question is, do the rabbanan have the authority or the ability to manipulate what's called hana'a? I mean, to change the title of the definition of what's called hana'a. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, because he's Hashem. But when the Rabbanan decide to make lighting a candle a mitzvah, and I happen to love lighting candles, can the Rabbanan say, no, you don't. That's not called Hana anymore. Do they have the right to say, because we're making it a mitzvah, that it's by definition not Hana? So that's probably what's behind it. Then he quotes Tosfos and Pesachim daf Mem Gimel and Beis, where he says, we make a bracha when we say Avdallah every week, Borima Oreya Esh. The bracha is on the hana'a that we're getting from the fire. How do I know it's Birchas Hananin? What do we do when we say Borima Oreya Esh? We hold up our fingers to it. Why are we holding up our fingers? So people say Kabbalistic, this, that. No, it's hana'a, because you're supposed to get hana'a from the fire. So the Gemara says the amount of hana'a you're supposed to get is the... You're supposed to enjoy the light enough to be able to get enough light from it that you should be able to see the tzura on a coin. That if you held a quarter up to it, you'd be able to see George Washington. Right? You'd be able to see the tzura on a coin. The only thing is, after Shabbos, most of us don't have coins in our pockets. But the same amount of light that it takes to see the tzura on the coin is the same amount of light it takes to see the line that differentiates your fingertip from your fingernail. So we don't have coins in our pockets, but almost always when Shabbos is over, we still have our fingers on us. So we can use our fingers to enjoy that level of hana. So Tosfos Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel asks very pashut kasha. It's hana from a fire, right? Why don't you make a bracha every time you get hana from a fire? You eat every time you make a bracha. So you're getting the hana from you make birchas hareach every time you smell b'samim, even during the week you'd make a bracha. So why don't you make a bracha every time you get hana from the fire? So Tosfos answers. Only when your body is actually getting hana. You eat food, it's in your body. You smell, it enters inside of you. As opposed to sight kinds of hana'a are less a part of you, and therefore they weren't misakin every time. Very fascinating distinction between the senses. Which of the senses really become you, and which ones are more external? So he says, maybe hu adin by mitzvos. Granted, mitzvos give you hana'a, but maybe it's not that high level hana'a of eating. Because eating becomes you, it's not external to you. And therefore, maybe mitzvos don't require a bracha. Because after all, if even the hana'a of seeing is called external, and therefore doesn't require a bracha, so the hana'a of a mitzvah should be at least as external as the hana'a of sight, right? So it also shouldn't require a bracha. Very strong kasha. So he says, be'emes ze'eno, it's not a kasha. Because Gemara and Bracha says, how do I know you make a bracha on reyach, on smells? What's the source? Anyone know the source? The pasuk for brachas reyach? Kol ha'neshama tahalil ka. The neshama is mahalil, is praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does the neshama get hana that the physical body doesn't get hana? From smells. The neshama is associated with our breath. Right, with the fact that we breathe. So breathing in the nose, that's the neshama getting anah. The Gemara says this isn't some Kabbalistic. That's the neshama getting anah without the body getting anah. So he says, you see, that birchas hareach is a hanas haneshama, and it needs a bracha. A mitzvah, don't call it an external hana'a, it's the most internal hana'a. It's the highest form of hana'as haneshama. That's the ultimate neshama getting hana'a. And therefore, make sure that's not like looking at your fingertips. That's not your neshama. That's external to you. Okay. So he has a little more to say, but we'll stop there. We'll pass our time. And I just have one more thing to share with you tomorrow on this relationship between, maybe a couple more things, on this relationship between the Birchas Hanenin and Birchas HaMitzvah. That they're somehow connected, and then we'll move on to other explanations as to why it is that we make a birchas mitzvah before we do a mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop there.